Well, there's nothing like the Christmas season where you got to talk about angels. It's fantastic. And in a moment, we will. Julie Ryan back with us. Her latest work is called Angel Messages for Dogs. I kid you not. So we'll talk about that with Julie when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Julie Ryan back with us. She was with us back in April of 2019 when we talked about angelic attendance. Julie's an inventor, author, entrepreneur, podcaster, medical intuitive, psychic whose learned skills have helped countless families understand the side of the dying process. This process involves angels, multitudes of deceased family and friends, the spirits of deceased pets, and countless and miraculous moments that are a part of a prescribed series of events that she calls the 12 phases of transition. The information that Julie conveys brings peace at a time that seems filled with anything but peace right now, in a new way of those that have left behind to embrace life through what they learn about the experience of death. Julie, welcome back. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, George. Thanks so much for having me. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Always a great season. I had you back in April of 2019, but when you get close to Christmas, it's kind of fun talking about angels, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Really is. And how have you been?
Terrific. Thanks. Wonderful. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, so greetings from Sweet Home, Alabama.
Super, super. So you're still doing your medical intuitiveness. That has helped you a lot with everything else you've done, hasn't it?
Well, I help a lot of people all over the world. I'm like a human MRI, George. I can see in my mind's eye medical conditions and help facilitate energetic healings, which help people figure out what's going on and then heal what their symptoms are. It's an adjunct to medicine, as we know it, Western medicine.
How did that intuitiveness start for you?
I learned how to do it. I'm not one of those psychics who's had dead people chasing her since childhood, or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with it. But I learned how to do this. And so I just took classes for 6 years and paid the equivalent of what it would cost to get a PhD or an MD. And now I teach people all over the world how to do what I do.
You find that the more you do it, the better you get? Or do you plateau? Are you at a point?
Absolutely, yes. I see new healings come in really a lot, if not daily, certainly several times a week. I probably work with upwards of 2,500 people a year between my radio show, podcast, and also individual clients helping doctors and individuals diagnose conditions and then helping heal what those conditions are.
I know when our executive producer, Lisa, was talking to me a year ago about your book, Angelic Attendance, I jumped at that opportunity. And so when she called up and says, do you want Julie Ryan back on? I said, sure. What she's got, what's going on? She says, angel messages for dogs. And I went, what? So I will ask you that question. What?
Yeah. Well, George, you mentioned in my introduction, thank you for those kind words. I'm a businesswoman who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. So part of what I do is I not only work on humans, but I work on pets as well. And again, I'm like a human MRI. I can see in my mind's eye ailments and torn ligaments and broken bones and different kinds of ailments in animals and help facilitate healing. And I was inspired to write a series of children's books. It started last year with Angel Messages for Kids, and then this year I came out with Angel Messages for Dogs. And it's just a children's book, a picture book. It's beautifully illustrated. It's just darling. And it's angels talking to dogs and giving them information that helps small children understand not only dogs but also spirits.
Well, there's no question that dogs convey all kinds of things for humans. I mean, they're being used now for COVID-19 patients to kind of calm people down and make them feel better. They've been used to sniff cancer victims, helping doctors. I see them on planes with people, comforting people as support dogs. And of course, people have them as pets. Tell me about the angelic tie-in to dogs.
Well, how this really came about was I have had so many moms over the years, George, tell me, or ask me actually, can you help me explain to my child what happens when a loved one dies? Because we'll tell little Johnny, well, grandma's in heaven now, and they'll be at the funeral home for the visitation hours, and little Johnny will say, well, Mom, grandma's asleep in that box over there. And then I've had moms say to me, how can you help me explain to my child that he knows things about past lives that we can corroborate with historical data that we can find online, and this child can't even read yet? And can you help me explain to my child that my child can see deceased loved ones who come to visit them in their bedroom at night, and they know the name and they know this person's information, that there's no way they could know because the person's been dead for 20 years. Can you help me explain that? So that's really how the Angel Messages children's book series started.
Oh, that's a great message. And angels, of course, in your opinion, are what?
Angels are just energy, George. They are like everything. Everything's made up of energy, vibrating at different levels. And I'm a cradle Catholic. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. So angels look to me like they do in depicted in paintings and statuary. To someone perhaps that's raised in a different culture, like an indigenous tribe in the Amazon, they may appear as a purple blob of energy. But they're just energy, and they're divine messengers, they're protectors. There are fabulous stories throughout mankind. I think angels are mentioned in the Bible, I believe, 273 times is what the number was when I looked it up. And they are in all cultures, all religions, and they're just something that's part of our lives, whether we're aware of them or not.
I was watching one of my favorite movies as we get close to Christmas. It's kind of a tradition with me. It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And, you know, just a classic movie about an angelic intervention, which literally saved George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart's life, and changed his life, to be sure. Do angels react, in your opinion, like that?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are countless stories throughout the ages of, I was crossing the street and a car was coming around the corner and I didn't see it and some man pushed me out of the way. And then when I got up and I went to thank him, nobody was there. Or I ran over a dog or a child, God forbid, and all of a sudden this person came and helped me lift the car up. Or there's just all
amazing stuff,
stories like that.
When we take calls with you next hour, perhaps we'll get some of those stories again for us, Julie, in addition to questions for you. I've always seen like a cat or a dog kind of look into the emptiness of space, looking and gazing as if they were looking at something. What are they looking at? Are they looking at angels?
Oh, yeah, or spirits.
Or spirits.
Loved ones that are around. And cats and dogs sometimes will just be laying on the couch or laying on the floor, and you'll watch their little heads turn from side to side as if they're watching somebody cross the room. And the people in the room can't see anybody, but, boy, the spirit sure can. Absolutely. Yes, it's very common.
Now, are the spirits or the angelic entities trying to communicate with the animal? Or is it more of, shh, we're here, be quiet?
I think it may be a combination of both. I think they just can see them and sense them. You know, animals have such a heightened sense of smell and vision and hearing. Dogs can hear things far off way better than humans, and certainly their sense of smell. So I think their senses are perhaps more acute, and they're able to sense spirit.
Can they communicate with us, or do they communicate with the angels? How do they do that?
Absolutely. They communicate telepathically. I talk to pets all the time, and it's a riot what they say, George. The thing that I hear the most from dogs, you're going to love this, is can you please use scent-free laundry detergent and fabric softener?
The other stuff bothers them, huh?
Well, their sense of smell is so acute that you've got lilac-scented all-temperature cheer detergent or something.
Throughout the whole house, right?
Lilac, enough with the lilac, yeah.
That's funny. What about dogs that are a little more vicious to humans? Do they have the same kind of angelic intervention?
Well, I think dogs that are vicious are just afraid. They're in fear. A lot of them maybe have been abused.
Sure, that's true.
They come from a place of fear. And I think it's not so much the dogs have angelic interventions. I think it's the humans that have angelic interventions when there's a fierce dog around. There's a great book by Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever read that. Shirley MacLaine, yeah. The actress and entertainer. And she was doing the Santiago Trail in Spain, and she came upon a pack of wild dogs, and she was able to communicate with them telepathically. And through her heart energy, she just sent them love, and they just let her pass with no problem.
Yeah, she's very metaphysical, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She's fabulous.
She's into all of this, to be sure. Now, with the book that you wrote for children, what do you like, or what would you expect them to get from the book?
Well, one of the main things in the whole Angel Messages series for children is that there is spirit inside a body. And so in the book, it talks about the dog like you, or your dog like you, was a spirit before he became a dog, a human dog, and then chose the family that would love him. And so the other big message in this series, George, is that we can communicate with spirits that are alive, and we can communicate with spirits that are deceased, even the dogs. Because children lose dogs, and it's really hard. I mean, heck, it's hard for adults, let alone kids. And that their spirits are still around us, and we can communicate with them, even though the grown-ups can't see them or hear them. Children oftentimes can.
Is this the same as a cat?
Yes.
Cats will do the same thing. They seem sometimes a little more perceptive than even a dog.
Yeah, I think it depends on the animal. I hear stories of both, and I've witnessed it with my own dogs, where we'll be watching TV, my husband and I, George, and the dog's head, like I said, will just move, and like they're watching somebody cross the room. It's really a riot. I think people say that to me a lot. They'll say, oh, my God, I think my dog can see dead people. And I'll say, they probably can. Tell me about it. And that's normally what I hear.
Next hour, we'll get into the 12 phases of transition that you talk about, and also your ability as a psychic. What do the angels want with an animal, specifically a dog? What is their rationale for dealing with them?
I don't know that they deal with dogs that much. I think they are more human-centered. Like I mentioned before, I think if there's a situation with an animal that gets a little tricky at times, they're there to intervene with the human. But in the book, I just use it as a fun thing. They're puppies and kids. I mean, there isn't anything that's cuter than that. And so it's a way to communicate the spirit stuff, as I mentioned, with helping moms to describe and teach their kids that really they have these intuitive abilities. We all come in with them. We're all hardwired for intuition. We've all had somebody that we think of, and then they either call us or we run into them, or they'll send us an email or a text, and we'll say, oh, my gosh, I was just thinking of you. And you think, what a coincidence. Well, no coincidence.
None.
Your intuition.
Exactly.
In play there. And I think it gives this series of books gives parents a way to help children understand that they can see spirits and they can communicate with them. What's most common, George, is especially in our Western society, most little children can see spirits up to the age of about 6 or 7 when somebody, if it's a parent or a grandparent or another adult, an authority figure, will say, oh, honey, that's just your imagination. That's not real, and then they shut down their intuitive abilities. Well, if they keep developing their intuitive abilities and utilize them, how can that help them in their lives in immeasurable ways?
When you deal with the angels, do you have to do anything special to communicate with them?
I raise my vibrational level to the level of spirit, George, because we're all spirits attached to a body having a human experience. And when we're attached to a body, we vibrate more slowly simply because the body has mass. So it takes me a nanosecond. I turn my abilities on and off. I don't walk around scanning people. I don't think that's ethical, number one. It's none of my business, number two. And number three, I don't really want to know what's going on. So I turn my intuitive abilities up. I ramp them up to the level of spirit. It's like the radio stations that you're broadcasting on are on a megahertz of a frequency, basically, right? And it's the same thing. Spirit communicates at a very high frequency, and I've learned how to raise my body's vibrational level to that level so I can communicate with spirit, and that's what I teach people to do from all over the world. The only prerequisite to take my class is you got to speak English.
In order for you to get into this mode of communication, do you need to do anything special for yourself?
No, not at this stage. What I teach...
Not anymore, at least.
No, it's like driving a car. You just get in and do it. But what I teach is imagine a geyser of energy coming from the core of the earth, shooting up through your feet and up through the top of your head. And that helps raise the vibrational level. Another really fun way to raise the vibrational level that I teach, too, is the Superman pose or the Superwoman pose. And actually, a Harvard professor named Amy Cuddy did research on this. She has a TED Talk that anybody can see online. And what she found was when you stand in that pose for a minute or so, you raise your vibrational level, and it helps you lower your cortisol levels, so your anxiety levels, and it helps you raise your dopamine levels, your feel-good levels. So I've spoken in front of great big audiences over my career as a businesswoman, and you better believe before I go on stage in front of 1,000 people with double jumbotrons, I'm in the ladies' room in the stall doing the Superwoman pose, to get all my brain chemicals.
Get you going.
So that's a really good way. Yeah.
When people are in this kind of mode, I keep thinking of Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost, where she was just a channeler. Does that happen to you too, where they enter your body?
No, I have conversations with them, but no, I have conversations with spirit, and every spirit has their own frequency, like back to your radio station.
Sure.
And they keep those frequencies. It's been my experience. They keep those frequencies throughout all of their lifetimes. We live thousands and thousands, if not more, lifetimes, all of us, our spirits. And so our heads are like big satellite dishes, George. And when we think of somebody that's deceased, whether it's somebody we knew or not, immediately they come in. Who do you want to talk to? Your dead grandma? You want to talk to Aristotle? You want to talk to Mother Teresa? It doesn't matter. When you think of that person who lived, who's deceased now, it tunes your satellite dish head to their frequency, and they come in immediately. It's kind of like Bewitched, a TV show.
Do you wiggle your nose?
Yeah, you could wiggle your nose, but you know, Samantha Stevens, I used to wish I could be Samantha Stevens when I grew up, and now I am.
Well, that's right. Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. She would yell, Mother, and then Dora would come in, or she'd yell, Uncle Arthur, and he would be in immediately. I swear whoever wrote the screenplay for that show knew woo-woo and incorporated a lot of it into the script. So that's how it works. Our heads are big satellite dishes, and we receive and transmit frequencies. So any entity that ever lived, whether you knew them or not, you can communicate telepathically with them just by thinking of them.
All right, Julie, we're going to come back in just a moment and talk more about your psychic abilities. Her books are listed under her website, available at Amazon.com, Angel Messages for Dogs, Angelic Attendance, and her website is AskJulieRyan.com, and we've got that linked up for you at CoastToCoastAM.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Julie Ryan with us. And Julie, let's talk a little bit about the intuitive abilities that you believe all of us have, don't you?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And how do we get that? We born with it? We develop it? What happens?
Both. We're born with it, and then we develop it and enhance it over our lives if we choose to.
Now, tell me a little bit about these 12 phases of transition.
It's what everybody goes through, George, when they die. It's a sequence of events that involve deceased loved ones' spirits, the spirits of deceased pets, and then also angels. And it's a configuration that starts out with the spirit is inside the body. Most people that are raised in Christian cultures, at least in Catholic, Roman Catholic, like I was raised that the spirit or the soul is somewhere in the chest area. And that's not what I perceive. What I perceive is that the body is inside the spirit, and it's all holographic. And when somebody dies and their spirit and their body separate, that the spirit is the power source for the body. That's why the body doesn't work anymore, because it doesn't have a power source. So I know you've had people, many people on the show over the years that have had a near-death experience.
Oh, many, 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 yeah.
And they talk about going through a tunnel. And that's what I perceive, is that the spirit exits the body through the top of the head, and it holds on to the top of the head as somebody's going through the dying process in what I call the spirit bubble. It looks like a cartoon caption where the words of the cartoon character or their thoughts are. That's the first thing that happens. That's phase one. And then the person who's dying, the closest maternal spirit, their mother if their mother's deceased, their grandmother if their mother's still alive, it's always on the maternal line. They show up first, and they orchestrate what happens in the spirit world, which has been really interesting to watch throughout the years for me. And then a paternal spirit shows up, and then angels, a circle of angels, surround the person who's dying, with the parents anchoring the circle of angels at the feet, a person's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they approach death, that circle opens up into a horseshoe and eventually is in a straight line at, if they're in a bed, at the foot of the bed. And then other many, many, many other deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets show up too, George. It's pretty wild. And this happens to everybody who dies, whether they die instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, or whether they die over a prolonged period of time, days, weeks, months. And interestingly enough, when my own mother was dying in 2002, it's the first time I saw this whole sequence of events. And at her funeral, there's a prayer said at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral called In Paradisum.
Yeah.
Which is Latin for into paradise. And it talks about how the angels and your and loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. And I believe that's what I'm seeing in these 12 phases of transition, seeing in my mind's eye, if you will. And perhaps it took till the 5th century, that's when that prayer originated in my research, best I could find. Perhaps it took that long for somebody who was well-educated enough to write down a prayer about that, and certainly some of the most well-educated people at that time were men in monasteries and synagogues. So I find it fascinating, and I think that since the beginning of time, we've been able to see this telepathically.
And in terms of these phases, from the first to the 12th, in terms of timing, how long does that normally take?
It depends on the person who's dying. As I mentioned, it can happen instantly. Like in a case of a very sudden death, we'll hear, oh, he dropped dead of a heart attack. Well, this was all happening. All these 12 phases were happening. Or somebody that is dying over a prolonged period of time. But it's important to remember, George, that time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Time is a human creation, a human concoction. So 100 lifetimes of 100 years may not even be a blip on the radar screen in the spirit world in heaven. Another important point I think to mention is there has been university-based research done on this, and there's a doctor in Buffalo, New York, who's the head of a very large hospice palliative care center called Hospice Buffalo. His name's Chris Kerr, K-E-R-R. He's a physician and a PhD. He's a doctor. And he's studied 1,400 of his hospice patients, and 88% of them report seeing deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets as they're approaching death.
Interesting.
So it's, to my knowledge, the first time university-based research really corroborates what I see in the spirit world, and perhaps what In Paradisum conveyed back in the 5th century. So people, I believe, have been able to see this since the beginning of time, and now we've got some research that backs that up. Don't you love when science catches up with woo-woo?
Mm-hmm. Well, with Julie Ryan, her latest book, Angel Messages for Dogs. Julie, when the soul meets the human body, whose decision is it for the soul to enter that particular body? Is it the soul? Who's saying, go to that person?
It is the soul or the spirit. Yes, we all choose where we're born, when we're born, to whom we're born, and the circumstances in which we're born, so that our lives can have a basic trajectory to explore and experience whatever it is we want to experience.
Do we know what we're getting into when we do that? I mean, do we know what the future of Julie Ryan is going to hold when it enters you as a baby or as an embryo?
To an extent, George, what I find is that we all have a basic script of something that we want to explore, and then certainly free will comes in to the equation. For instance, your spirit may decide that you want to be a teacher in this lifetime. Well, there are a bazillion ways you can be a teacher. You're a teacher every night on the radio. You're teaching people about all kinds of things. Or you can be a teacher in a classroom, or you can be a mom or a dad or a whatever. And so I think it's a very basic script of something that we want to explore. Someone who's wants to explore a lifetime filled with music, perhaps will choose to be born of parents that have a musical interest, and it will facilitate that person being exposed to and having the opportunities to explore music.
Is your medical intuitiveness enhanced because you're a psychic, or is it the other way around?
I think they're all the same. It's all the same thing. It's just verbiage. Once we connect with spirit, we can take it anywhere we want. So, as I mentioned, I'm a businesswoman who learned how to be a medical intuitive and psychic, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. So once I connect with spirit, I can scan you medically. We can talk to your dead grandma. I can scan your cat. I can tell how close to death someone is. We can do past life stuff. We can communicate with spirit guides, with angels. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's just all communicating with spirit, and then we can take it anywhere we want.
Give us one of
that's what I teach.
I was going to say, give us one of your case stories. You don't have to mention names, of some episode that occurred that, you really haven't forgotten because it was that overwhelming.
With a client or
client or yourself. Or yourself or anything like that. A story that just something you can't forget.
Well, when my younger sister died 10 years ago, George, her name was Joan, and she had a brain aneurysm. And I always tell people that we all decide when we go, when we die, who's with us, what the circumstances are, and all of that. So my sister was on a ventilator and had not been conscious for a few days. And her husband, they did not have a do not resuscitate order on her chart. And her husband it was too painful for him. He could not issue that order. So I was communicating with her telepathically the whole time. And I said to her, if you want to stick around, that's fine. But if you want to go, you're going to have to take matters in your own hands because he can't make this decision. So long story short, George, one morning early, I was at the hospital with her husband. And he left to go home for a little bit, take a shower or whatever. I'm telling you, within 15 minutes of him leaving, she coded. I was in the room. A nurse was in the room. The tech was in the room. I said to the nurse, do not resuscitate her. And she said, I have to legally. Well, I said, let me get her husband on the phone and let's see if I can get him to agree to the DNR. And she said, okay. So I got him on the phone. He was stuck on the freeway in a traffic jam.
Oh, my gosh.
So he couldn't get back. He got back within a half an hour, and that allowed the rest of the family members to be there. So there were probably 20 of us with her when we took her off the ventilator and she passed. But I know she orchestrated all of that. She knew he was gone. She waited till he was out of the parking lot. She waited till he was in a traffic jam on a freeway, for heaven's sakes. And that allowed everybody that she wanted to be there to be there. So that's the most remarkable story that I know of someone being in control of when they go, where they go, who's with them when they go, and all of that. And it's so remarkable that I was there and I experienced it firsthand.
We're going to take your phone calls next hour with Julie Ryan, your angel stories, your questions. Jump on board. And I do want to tell you that on Christmas night, in the second half of the show, the last 2 hours, we're going to have specific miracle open lines on Christmas night. So get ready for that. And these miracles happen all the time, Julie, don't they?
Yes, they sure do.
Is it a godlike thing? What is it? What's doing it?
Well, yeah, I think it's spirit. I think it's all around us. We're all made of energy. Spirit is energy. God is energy. The Holy Spirit, for heaven's sakes, you know, spirit's with that name, you know, of one of the names, part of God that Christians believe anyways. And so, yeah, we all have miracles that happen in our lives, and it's just a matter of recognizing them. Most of us discount them and say, oh my gosh, that was such a coincidence or serendipity at play. Well, it's all the same thing. It's all spirit working around us and through us and for us. And it's all really a part of our spirit's experience in this human existence.
If you could only keep one of your abilities, a medical intuitive, your psychic abilities, what would you want to keep?
Well, they're all the same.
Yeah.
So I don't segregate them. They're like
different names, but they all work the same, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. It's just verbiage. It's just all the same. It's like you dive into the Pacific Ocean. Well, you're in the Pacific Ocean. I dive into spirit. I'm in spirit.
If a parent has a child that is showing some of these abilities, what should they do? The parent.
Encourage them. Listen to the child. Don't discount what they're seeing. When my son Jonathan was a baby, he's now 28 and married. He's big and bossy now. He's 28 and married. I was rocking him and feeding him his bottle, and he was a toddler. He was probably, I don't know, a year, maybe a little over a year. And he sat up and he pointed to a corner in his bedroom, and he said, Mommy, what's that? And I said, well, honey, what do you see? I'm saying a corner in his bedroom.
Yeah, nothing there, right?
I learned how to do any of this stuff. And he said, well, it's a big red ball. And I said, oh, it's just energy. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't see it, but certainly he could. So I just validated what he was seeing. And
Did you think that he was seeing something?
I did, yes. Yeah. Because
okay, that's
so
good.
It was so obvious that he sat up and he pointed into the top of the room. I think most people would say, oh, honey, that's just your imagination.
Right. They'd kind of sweep it under the carpet.
Right. And then the child learns to distrust their intuitive abilities. And what we want to do is we want our children to be able to utilize those intuitive abilities. I think that they're kind of like an internal GPS, George, that we have. We all have had gut feelings about something, and when we go the opposite direction of what our first thought is, a lot of the time we regret it. So it's our internal GPS system that helps us really live a joyful life and thrive when we pay attention to our intuitive abilities and our thoughts that come in intuitively.
Julie, when some people see spirits, are they the ones seeing them because of their ability, or is the spirit allowing them to see them?
It's the receiver. It's the person who's seeing them. And oftentimes people will see spirits, like they'll see a figure out of the corner of their eye for a nanosecond.
Like a whoosh. I was going to ask you about that. That kind of a shadowy, quick whoosh.
Right. And then they'll think, oh, I'm just losing my mind, or that's my imagination. I really didn't see that. Because a lot of the time they're afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Spirit, all spirit is pure love.
What is that? What are they seeing?
They're seeing a spirit. Yeah, they're seeing a spirit. And what I teach and what I do is as I mentioned before, I raise my vibrational level to the level of spirit. So then I see spirits. And what they look like, George, is like what they look like in the movie. You were talking about Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost, and they're depicted as a hologram of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What they looked like in that lifetime, kind of like Beam Me Up, Scotty, Star Trek, you know, when they're beaming them up, they turn into a hologram of what their body looks like. That's how spirits appear to me. And it's also interesting that spirits appear to us in a way that we can recognize them and we can have a frame of reference for them.
I would suspect you are a believer in reincarnation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's lots and lots of validation throughout the ages of people knowing things about past lives that there's no way they could know. And especially with the internet, these days we can corroborate historical information online. I work with people all the time about past lives, and we'll get names and dates, and oftentimes we can find that person's name, and I'll get where they lived and what the year was, and we can corroborate that information with census data online, you know, the genealogy information that's available, and other historic documents online that we can access now. It's really, really remarkable how we can corroborate a lot of the information we get when working with past lives. They're really fun to do, past lives. And then when I'm doing past lives with someone, then I'll get information about how this correlates with their current life. And back to the script that I talked about earlier, George, about
right.
We all come in with a script. What I find is that we'll live many lifetimes exploring the same basic script, but different perspectives of that script. Certainly different timeline, different gender, different location, different set of circumstances, but still exploring that same basic script. It's fascinating what we can come up with of the nuances and the things that resonate in this lifetime that correlate with past lifetimes.
All right, we're going to come back next hour and take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.